go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. We're joined by the magnificent Elaine Donnelly, a dear friend who has done extraordinarily important work with her organization, the Center for Military Readiness, in standing up for something most of us, certainly civilians, don't have much appreciation for, and that is what I think she's called the culture of the military and the extent to which it can be impaired, if not really seriously undermined, by the kind of social experimentation that we saw so much of, really a wrecking operation, I think of it as, in the Obama years. One of the legacies of that, of course, was late in the administration of Barack Obama, the opening of the United States military to transgender or transsexual individuals. Elaine has been warning about the implications of this for some time, has been very effective, I think, in making the case that President Donald Trump has now embraced, thank goodness, and here to talk about the president's announcement and the directive that will apparently shortly be forthcoming to the Pentagon is, of course, Elaine Donnelly. Thank you so much for joining us, Elaine.
Well, Frank, thank you for all the kind words. And yes, things are taking some interesting turns now, and I'm optimistic.
Well, good. Let's just, again, do a little level setting here. What is the problem, as you see it, with respect to transgender individuals serving in uniform?
Well, the problem is to have any individuals in the military who are suffering from a psychological condition that interferes with personal readiness, this is a problem in general. And that's why there is a list of psychological conditions such as schizophrenia or bulimia or claustrophobia. If you have these conditions, then it makes you non-deployable in the military. And in the case of people who wear the clothing of the opposite sex, cross-dressers, in some parts of the world, you can't deploy there at all. So if you're a diver or an aviator, if you're taking hormone treatments, these kinds of very powerful medications trying to change gender can affect personal readiness to deploy.
Give us a sense of the impact of these non-deployment considerations on readiness as we've been given to understand them, even by people who are famously or notoriously supportive of the transgender and more broadly the social engineering agenda at the RAND Corporation.
Yes. Well, RAND Corporation is a liberal outfit. It's always amusing to see them described as if they are objective or even conservative. They are not. Every couple of years, they produce another polemic pushing the LGBT agenda. They always have. And they came out with some ridiculous estimates of the numbers of transgenders in the military. And, of course, the media quotes them as if they're gospel truth. Thousands of transgenders are in the military. But it's also been reported only 250 have announced they wanted to try to change their gender since 2016. So RAND's figures, they come from the LGBT activist groups like the Michael D. Palm Center, all of which self-interested. There are a group of people who would love to have the Department of Defense pay for expensive surgeries.
So they're inflating the numbers of people who are in uniform already in the hopes that that sort of creates a condition that they can't be undone. They're also seemingly lowballing, though, the numbers of days in which these individuals are unable to serve. Talk a little bit about that, Elaine Donnelly.
Even RAND admits that there would be time off for surgeries and treatments, about 111, 120. I've seen higher estimates. If you figure in what is called time off for real life experience, RLE, this is time off where the soldier or sailor is supposed to take time off and experiment being a person of the opposite sex. Another large group of people, doctors and nurses, there is no option to refuse having to be involved in these treatments and surgeries, even though many see them as unethical. Long-term studies have shown that even after surgery, suicide rates are not affected. People still suffer from a mental condition here, a psychological condition. The estimates that surgeries would only cost $30,000, that's from the Palm Center, it's ridiculous. The transgender activists say it's at least $100,000 more than that. And yet they throw these numbers around as if they are credible. because not only people in the military right now who will be handled on a case-by-case basis, but new people coming in, an open-ended access to the Treasury of the Department of Defense to pay for surgeries and treatments and extend it to family members, including children. This is what the transgender activists want. And oh, by the way, remember a couple weeks ago when everybody was freaking out? Oh, the president issued 3 tweets and still the transgenders are in the military and the military brass is defying the president. Well, that was pure bunk. And as we said at the time, look, you don't change policy with tweets. You have to go through an orderly process. And it appears, according to the Wall Street Journal just yesterday, the president is going to issue a directive and then the Department of Defense will take it from there.
Indeed. And I mean, what you've described here, just on the face of it, is such an abuse of our military and of the resources that are being allocated for our security. But it seems as though there may be a problem. We were talking in the program a moment ago with George Raceley about people disloyal to this president, people who are in some cases his appointees, unbelievably, but even more so, I think, people who were holdovers from the previous administration. Some of that reported pushback from the Pentagon apparently seems to be associated with some of the latter, these Obama holdovers. What can you shed on them and the likelihood that they will make the adoption of the president's policies more difficult?
Well, we'll see. And I should add a caveat here. We don't know exactly what the president's directive will be. So we have to be careful and not say flatly, we know what it is. We don't know for sure. We just have a report in the Wall Street Journal. But we do know that back on June 12th, one of the Obama holdovers had in the Pentagon an LGBT pride event, even though the president was being pressured to endorse LGBT Pride Month in June. He did not do so. And yet, this Pentagon official went ahead and did it anyway. This same Pentagon official has been involved with RAND in putting out these phony reports with ridiculously elastic numbers on estimates of costs and consequences on transgenders in the military. And this person is still in the Pentagon in the department that is going to be dealing with this issue. Now, we don't know what's going on behind the doors of the Pentagon, and I'd like to think that the Secretary of Defense will make sure that knowledgeable people who share his priorities, which are mission readiness and combat lethality, that sound people will be handling this policy and go about it in the right way so that it is legally defensible, so it does support the troops, so that it strengthens our military. In the meantime, what can people do? They should tell their members of Congress to support the president on this. We also know that 3 of 4 branches of the service, the Army, the Marine Corps, and the Air Force, asked for a 2-year delay before implementing this policy. The vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff expressed publicly concern about the science of pretending that you can change gender by changing appearance. That is just not possible. Human DNA determines what your gender is. You don't get assigned a gender at birth. This is the DOD policy under Obama. You're not assigned gender or gender identity. It is identified at birth, not assigned, and it cannot be reassigned.
Elaine Donnelly, again, so many counts. What you're doing at the Center for Military Readiness is incalculably important. I hope that your admonitions to members of Congress and to those of us who want to ensure that our military is fully committed to the mission of protecting us and not distracted or undermined in this incredibly, I believe, destructive social engineering. All of that is a great credit to you and much needed at this moment. We appreciate it and applaud you and look forward to talking with you further as the directive comes out and we watch its implementation, hopefully going forward expeditiously. Next up, Bill Gertz joins us. We'll talk with him about the threat from cyber to our ships, our grid, our people, and our security. That and more straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.